Our text for this evening is Psalm 11. To the choir master of David, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow, they have fitted their arrow to the string, to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. The thematic summary of the message of this evening is, when we trust in the Lord, you and I can resist the temptation to abandon our post and our responsibility when everything around us is falling apart. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you and ask myself, have you ever felt like escaping? When everything, either in your life or around you, is falling apart. Abandoning the post and the responsibilities that God has given you. Perhaps even those close to you might be advising you and me to actually do that. They may say to us, because you've shared your story with them over and over, they may say to us, you know what? You've done all that you can. And now that the bottom has fallen out, there's nothing left for you to do. Whatever you plan to do is not going to make a difference at all. Your situation is hopeless. Now, the man in our text, David, is in a situation like this. Because in our text, Psalm 11, he speaks about the foundations having been destroyed. The bottom has fallen out. These foundations are the foundations of society, the foundations of justice and righteousness, which in the Old Testament you find in the first five books of Moses, and then in the rest of the Old Testament you find all sorts of commentary on these foundations of justice and righteousness. These foundations of justice and righteousness are God's design for fruitful living. They are God's blueprint for society. They are the glue that holds life together in society. Every once in a while, you'll read in the Old Testament about these foundations, and God says, keep these foundations, live according to these foundations, Do this and you will live. Do this and your life will flourish. But now these foundations of justice and righteousness are crumbling or have crumbled and are falling apart. And the reason why they have crumbled is because the wicked are in control. And a thing that you and I need to keep in mind, that when the psalmists speak about the wicked, it's not the same as you and I speaking about the wicked. Because when you and I speak about the wicked, we are probably referring to the unbelievers in society, in the world. But when the psalmists speak about the wicked, they're talking about the wicked in Israel. In other words, they're talking about the wicked in the church of God. Because state and church overlapped in Old Testament Israel. The boundaries of the church and the boundaries of the state of Israel were the same. And so when David complains that the wicked are attacking the righteous, he's talking about unbelievers in Israel, members of the Old Testament church. They're attacking the righteous. Those are the people who are rightly related to these foundations of justice and righteousness. Those people who love these foundations and who want to live according to these foundations. So what can the righteous do when the bottom has fallen out of society like this, when all things have been turned upside down? In this kind of a situation, David gets advice from his friends. We know they're his friends because they distinguish themselves from the wicked. We're not like them. We're righteous, we're close to you, and we have your best interests at heart. And the advice of David's friends is, flee like a bird to your mountain. David, escape to a place of safety. Abandon your post and your responsibility as king of Israel and flee for your life, because the foundations have been destroyed. You realize, of course, that this would be very tempting for David, this advice. Also because the advice comes from his friends, those who have his best interests in their hearts and in their minds. And also because David has fled before. The younger ones may remember that David fled from Saul, right? 1 Samuel is full of David fleeing from Saul. And when Absalom usurped his father's throne, then David also got advice to flee, and he actually took that advice, and he fled out of Jerusalem. So it's a very tempting advice for David. Flee like a bird to your mountain. And yet, David refuses to accept this advice. Fleeing from Absalom and fleeing from Saul was a different matter. That was strategic. He had taken a wait-and-see attitude. I'll flee from Saul here and see what happens next. And yeah, then David was invited back into the palace of Saul again. And when he fled from his son Absalom, it was again also a strategic move, a wait-and-see attitude. But now this advice that David gets in this difficult situation in his life is a fleeing in unbelief. It would be an abandoning of his post and responsibility in unbelief. And you say, how do you get to that, that this is unbelief? Well, You immediately hear that when David says, "In the Lord do I take refuge," he says. "And because I take refuge in the Lord, how can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain?" In essence, David is saying, your advice is in conflict with my posture of faith. Earthly foundations of justice may have crumbled. God's foundation of justice remains intact. He is the Lord. And because I place my trust in the Lord, I can resist the temptation to abandon my post and my responsibility. And you ask yourself the question, why does David's trust in the Lord make him so strong? What does David see that his friends obviously do not see? Well, with the eyes of his heart, and a month ago I spoke about the eye being the lamp of the body. So with the lamp of his body, the eye of his heart, David sees more than just physical reality. With the eye of his heart, David sees an invisible reality. David sees a throne at the center of the universe. And he knows that this throne at the center of the universe is not an empty throne, but it's a throne that is occupied by the Lord God Almighty himself, who has dominion and power and might. And that this Lord who sits on the throne at the center of the universe is the ultimate ruler of the world, not the wicked. David sees with the eye of his heart, the eye of his imagination, the lamp of his body. He sees what Elisha's servant saw with his physical eyes. When this servant was shaking in his boots and he thought it was all over because the Syrian army had encircled Dothan, and he complains to his master, "Oh, this is going to be the end." And Elisha prays and he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And this servant doesn't see with the eye of his heart. He sees with his physical eyes an army of horses and chariots all around Elisha. He sees that the Lord is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies who encamps around his people. Something that is always a reality, but that we can never really see with our physical eyes. We need to reckon with this in faith and see this with the eyes of our heart. But Elisha's servant didn't have faith at that moment. And so he didn't see this with the eyes of his heart. And so the Lord enabled this servant to actually see it with his physical eyes. An invisible reality that is always around God's people. David reckoned with that. He didn't have to see it with his naked eyes. And David also reckoned with what the Apostle John would also see with his physical eyes when he was in the Spirit. And he was taken up through an open door into heaven. And he saw the ultimate ruler of the universe sitting on his throne under the metaphors of precious stones, because you cannot see God and live. And he hears this ultimate ruler of the universe receiving adoration and praise from creation and from the church and from the angels. Brothers and sisters, there is more to reality than meets the eye. Also today, you and I are surrounded by angelic hosts. We can't see them, but we know they are here. They are around us. And God protects us also with his angels. And we know that God is seated on the throne, and that today he is ruling the world through the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the scroll out of his Father's hand and is opening the seals of God's judgment. David saw some of this with the eyes of his heart, and that made him strong. That's why he could say to his friends, "In the Lord do I take refuge." How can you say, "Flee like a bird to your mountain"? God is seated on his throne. And moreover, David knows that this God sees. Whenever you read that in the Bible, that God sees, at least I always am mindful of Exodus 3, where God reveals his name to Moses. The people of Israel and Egypt are going to ask Moses, who is this God who sent you back to us? And so God says to Moses, "Tell them that I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be," has sent me to you. But then God also said to Moses, "I have seen the affliction of my people in Israel. I have heard their cries, and I know about their suffering, and I have come down to do something about it." So whenever you read the name Lord with all capital letters, you need to remember that this refers to the God who not only hears our cries, not only is intimately acquainted with all of our struggles, but this is also the God who sees. He looks at what's going on. Nothing escapes the notice of this God. In fact, David says, this God peers. This God peers through his eyelids. His eyes are gazing on humanity. He peers and he examines. Takes a good examination of what's going on. He examines and he tests each human being from the inside out, not missing a thing. Because David knows this. He knows that this has consequences for the wicked as well as for the righteous. That the God who is the ultimate ruler of the universe, who is seated on his throne, takes in everything that is going on. And he knows that for the wicked, this is devastating. David knows that because God sees what the wicked are doing, and that God hates those who love violence, those wicked that he was talking about, those wicked who had destroyed the foundations of justice and righteousness, David knows that God is going to rain fire and sulfur upon these wicked. David knows that God is going to make these wicked drink out of the cup of his wrath, right to the very bottom drop of that cup. David knows that God is going to bring devastation and destruction upon these wicked. like a scorching desert wind. And David knows that the reality of God's judgment, the reality of God's wrath is his offended love. Later on in the New Testament, we'll read in 2 Peter that the Lord is patient. We're dealing with a very patient God. He's slow to anger. He's patient. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You need to remember this about your God. He's patient. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want me to perish. He doesn't even want the wicked to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. Because God is on a mission of mercy. He wants to show mercy to people. But if after years and years of being patient with wicked people, and they still don't come to repentance, then a time can come that God's patience runs out. And God will act in his offended love. And he will come with his justice upon the wicked, with his wrath. Because even though God is on a mission of mercy, he will set all things right with his justice, his offended love. And David knows this. And because David knows this, because David sees with the eye of his heart this throne at the center of the universe, this throne on which a righteous God is seated, who will come in judgment when his patience runs out, yeah, David can say, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? I leave it in the Lord's hands. He will take care of this injustice on his time and in his manner. But David also knows that while the Lord hates those who love violence, the Lord also loves those who do righteousness, because the Lord loves righteousness. David knows that the upright will see his face. So there is David. The bottom is falling out of his life. The foundations of justice have crumbled. And David says, the upright will see his face. And for David, that means that he will see the face of God in the house of God. Not literally, but he will worship the Lord his God in the house of God. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in his holy house and gaze upon the beauty of my Lord. That's also why David can resist the temptation to abandon his post and his responsibilities. When peace like a river, we could say, attendeth David's soul, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever is David's lot, the Lord has taught him to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. I come back to the beginning of my sermon. Where do you and I need to resist the temptation to abandon our post and our responsibilities when everything around us may be falling apart? Whatever sphere of life that may be, Where are those close to you, perhaps also advising you to do that? Because you have shared your story with them over and over again. And now they say to you, you know what? You're right. Flee like a bird to your mountain. Where do you and I, brothers and sisters, need to keep the eye of our heart focused on that throne in heaven? A throne that is not occupied, is not empty, but occupied by the Lord of the universe, who sees everything that is going on, who peers through his eyelids so that nothing escapes God's notice. Also your suffering and the difficulties that you're going through. Also the temptation that you and I might be facing to abandon our post and our responsibility. Would you like to receive strength to learn to trust the Lord more so that you can resist and I can resist the temptation to abandon your and my post and our responsibilities? Then listen to these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to you and me this evening, I always place my trust in my Heavenly Father. Even when everything all around me was falling apart, and you know what Jesus' life was like, and because I placed my trust in my Heavenly Father, also in situations like that, I could resist the temptation to abandon my post and my responsibilities. And he says to you and me, I did that for you and in your place. You were included in this act of obedience of mine. Just like you were included in the disobedience of the first Adam, he sinned, we sinned in him. He was guilty, we're guilty in him. So the church of God was included in the obedience of the second Adam. So when Jesus placed his trust in his Heavenly Father, you and I were included in that act of obedience. And the beautiful thing is, Jesus says, what I have done for you and in your place, I now want to do in you. As you abide in me and I abide in you, like a vine or a branch abides in the vine. And then the mystery of the Christian faith will take place in your life as you experience me, the Lord Jesus, generating my own trust in your life through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray and give thanks. Father, we thank you that there is a throne at the center of the universe that is occupied by you. And thank you that with the eyes of our hearts, we can see that throne occupied by you and be encouraged by it so that we can resist the temptation to abandon our post and our responsibilities when everything around us is falling apart. And Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ always sought his refuge in you. Also, when the foundations of justice were crumbling around him and everything was falling apart. And thank you, Father, that he did that for us and in our place as our substitute and our representative, because we were included in what he did. Teach us now to embrace him in faith, so that what he has done for us and in our place, he can do in us, generating his own trust in us through the Holy Spirit. Father, grant a special blessing to those who are struggling with difficulties in their lives, who may be walking through a valley of deep darkness, who may be tempted to give up and throw in the towel. Father, may the message of this evening have been a strong source of encouragement for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.